22. And I just have to say this. You know, what a wonderful time this morning. We had a baptism this morning. I'm so proud of Brother Corbin over there. But when I came back from baptism, there's some things he got said that just kind of struck me out. I came in, and first thing I heard was bowling balls bouncing. So I said, oh, we're going to bounce a bowling ball. I was coming in. Then I hear that preachers are full of hot air. Then I hear about these cough drops that'll clean you from here to the moon. So it's always good. Isn't it great to have great fellowship in the house of the Lord? This morning I want to start a new sermon series called God Is. For the next several weeks, we'll be examining some of the different names for God and how each one of those names gives us and shows us God's character and some of His attributes. Now, God's names reveal what He is like and His place He holds in our relationships. And let's be honest, for most of us, we go by different names or different titles. And each of those names we are referred to describe just a little bit about us. So let's do a little scientific experiment, I should say. Probably not scientific, but let's take my name, for instance, okay? Christopher Lewis Downing. Now, you could probably guess the middle name is from my dad. And I want to tell you something. I take very much pride in my middle name, okay? I take pride that I carry my dad's name. Of course, Lewis means I belong to Lewis Downing. I am Lewis Downing's son. Downing is my family name, meaning I am kin in some form or fashion to everyone who has the Downing name. Some are obviously closer than others. You might ask me why my parents named me Christopher. Well, I wish I could tell you it's an old family name. But to be honest, if my mom were here today, she would tell you she named me Christopher because she liked the stories of the many adventures of Winnie the Pooh. And the young man in those stories was named Christopher Robin. So she named me Christopher. Well, I suppose it could be a lot worse. It could be Pooh Bear, Tigger, Piglet, or Eeyore. And I'll be honest, only a few select people refer to me as Christopher. I think I've mentioned this before. I have a couple of aunts that call me Christopher. And as I mentioned, when I got myself in trouble, I found my parents calling me Christopher. But I also go by other names and descriptions that tell a little bit about me. Elisa may call me sweetheart because I am her husband. I get the privilege of being called dad by my daughter, Ella Kate. A lot of people call me Brother Chris or Pastor Chris because I'm a pastor or a minister. I am referred to as Uncle Chris by my nephews, Dawson, on my side of the family, and Will on Elisa's side of the family. I am a great Uncle Chris by Bentley, that's Dawson's son. And all those names are important to me because they begin to describe who I am and the relationship I have with people. And the same can be said of you too, I'm sure. You're probably known by different names and different titles, and both your name and titles tell a little bit about who you are. And the same goes for the names of God. God is not His only name. God has been known by many different names and titles throughout the centuries, going back to the very beginning of time. The many names of God revealed in the Bible tells us about His character. Those names invite us to know God in a growing and intimate relationship. And I believe it's important for us to know the names of God. It's important to know the attributes and character of the God we serve. Amen? Amen. And I think there's several reasons why we should know that. First, obviously, God's name is great. God's name is great. Psalms 8:1 says, Lord, O Lord, how magnificent is your name throughout the earth. Understanding the names of God will enable us to praise and worship the Lord more effective and more purely. Secondly, God's name protects us and benefits us. Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of God is a strong tower. God's many names can be a tremendous aid, and especially an effective aid in our prayer lives to know the name of God, knowing the attributes and the character of the God we're praying to. And third, we represent God's name and bring honor to it. God gave the Ten Commandments, and one of those commandments has to do with His name. In Exodus 20, verse 7, you shall not take the name of the Lord God in vain. In other words, we are not to misuse the Lord's name. We are to avoid using God's name in vulgar and slang expressions. It means that we, the people of God, must reflect His name and character in our lives. I love what Ken Hempfield wrote about this. Then he says, the names of God are a love gift to us. God reveals Himself fully so we may experience His fullness. Now keep in mind, God is referred to by about 100 different names. Especially we consider God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and the different names each part of the Trinity has. But what I want to do is I want to focus on the names of God that we can find in the Old Testament. And I want to see how these names describe God and how we can apply that attribute of God's name to our Christian lives. And this morning I want to start out by looking at God as our provider. God as our provider. I think we can all say that we have made a decision or two in our lives that we didn't know exactly how we were going to be able to make the provisions needed. Amen? Anybody made one of those decisions? Some decisions in our life, we can see plainly how God is going to provide. Other decisions we make have to be made on faith. Amen. Not knowing how the provisions are going to come, but we have the confidence that God will make a way. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. When I first surrendered to ministry, Elisa and my first decision was going to have to be made by faith. We knew we were called to ministry. We knew we were called, God was leading us to seminary. We knew God was leading us towards attending the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville. But we had no idea, not even a clue, on some of the important things like how are we going to make the move? Where are we going to live in Louisville? How are we going to support ourselves? I thought that was an important one. And this was probably the most important one. How are we going to pay for the tuition to attend seminary, which was not cheap, okay? We didn't have all the questions answered, but when we made the decision to be obedient to God's call in our lives, we just knew that this was the direction that God was leading us, and if we knew God was calling, He would provide. So by faith, we were going to press forward, and that's exactly what we did. I resigned my job at the Christian radio station in Hardin. Lisa resigned her job at Friend of the Court in Paducah, and with no job prospects, we loaded up the moving truck, which was probably provided by Lisa's mom and dad, and moved to Louisville and moved into seminary housing, which when we got there, we found out was not completely finished yet. Something that was not told when we left that morning. So we had my mom, we had my dad, we had my sister, Peggy, Elisa, and I, and our cat named Blue, with a moving truck with no place to live. But God made the provisions. And we stayed in one of the model apartments until the contractor got the occupancy certificate approved by the city. And when we moved in, we found out our washer and dryer, the only piece of new furniture or new appliance that we had ever owned in our life, would not fit in the space provided. Well, God provided there too. The contractor said the architect made a mistake on the plans, and he loves billing the architect, so he bought us a new set. We got settled in our apartment. Neither one of us had jobs or any means to support ourselves. We just paid the first rent. Another $625, I think, was going to be due 30 days from now, when neither one of us had jobs. But God provided there as well. That very week, a law firm in downtown Louisville called Lisa for an interview and hired her on the spot. He was so impressed that she found dress clothes the day after we moved. The Lord provided a church for me to serve at a few weeks later. We didn't know how we were going to pay my tuition for seminary, but God provided there as well. My home church, Bethel Baptist Church over in Gibbersville, voted to pay for my very first semester of seminary. Then halfway through my first semester, UPS called and hired me as a part-time package handler. Now, I want to tell you, that was not my favorite job in the world, okay? Getting up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and go unloading trucks at UPS was not fun. And it really didn't pay a whole lot because they only give us a few hours. But you want to know one of the big benefits of working for UPS? They have tuition reimbursement. And UPS paid 85% of my tuition and books while I was in seminary. God provided. Looking forward, we didn't know how God was going to provide. But when we look back, we see how every I was dotted, every T was crossed, and God provided everything we need. God provided what we needed when we needed it. And as the song said, God was in time, on time, and every time. Abram, later named Abraham, knew this also well. In the passage we're about to read, we're going to see just how Abraham's faith in God as his provider played through. And Abraham saw firsthand God's provisions. He trusted God during one of the greatest tests of his faith. So you found Genesis chapter 22. If you're able, will you please stand for the reading of God's word? We're going to start in verse 1. Genesis chapter 22. And after these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he answered. "Take your son," he said, "your only son Isaac, whom you love, to go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." So Abraham got up early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took with him two of his young men and his son Isaac. He split wood for a burnt offering and set out to go to a place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will go over to worship. Then we'll come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac. And in his hand, he took the fire and the knife, and two of them walked on together. Then Isaac spoke to his father, Father Abraham, and said, "My father," and he replied, "Here I am, my son." Isaac said, "The fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." Then the two walked on together. When they arrived at the place that God had told him about, Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood. He bound his son Isaac, placed him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." He replied, "Here I am." Then he said, "Do not lay a hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your only son from me." Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught in the thicket by his horn. So Abraham went, took the ram, and offered it as a burnt offering in place of his son. And Abraham named the place, "The Lord will provide." So today it is said, it will be provided on the Lord's mountain. Will you pray with me this morning? Dear Lord, we thank you and praise you that yes, indeed, you are a God who provides. You provide everything we ever need. And we praise you and we thank you so much, Lord. Now, Lord, I pray as we look into this passage, we open up our scripture, we turn and just look in this passage, you'll speak to us as you have promised you would. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. This morning we begin this series on the names of God and the attributes of God. And we begin with an attribute we can all appreciate, my personal opinion. God is our provider. Aren't you glad that God is our provider? Aren't you glad that God provides everything we ever need? Amen. Let me say that again. Aren't you glad God is our provider? Amen. All right, I was hoping you would say that. The Hebrew name for God and this attribute that we find here is called Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord, the God that provides. And you can see in the Old and the New Testament that we serve a God who has a desire to meet the needs of his people. We serve a God who loves us so much that he knows more about us than we know about ourselves. We find that in Matthew chapter 10, 29 through 30. It says, "Aren't two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them falls to the ground without your father's consent. But even the hairs on your head have all been counted. So don't be afraid. You're worth more than many sparrows." Just to give you a few biblical examples of how God has always provided for his people. You can see how God has provided for Daniel when he was in the lion's den. God came through for David when he defeated the giant Goliath with just a sling and a stone. God provided manna for the Israelites while wandering in the wilderness. He provided and delivered Gideon from the hands of the Midianites. God was faithful and provided Moses when he called Moses to free the Hebrews from the hand of Pharaoh. Perhaps the most moving and heart-wrenching account of God providing for his people has to be found in the passage we just read today. Abraham was called by God when he was 75 years old from an area that is now considered Turkey. In Genesis chapter 12, God instructs Abram to leave what he's always known and move to the land he would show him later on. To let go of all that was familiar to him. And it took great faith. And as we read into Genesis chapter 12, that God promised Abraham that the entire world would be blessed through his offspring. Then if you're familiar with Abraham's life, you know that God promised him and his wife Sarah they would be blessed with a child. But over in Genesis chapter 16, when time had passed and Sarah was still not pregnant, you know, Sarah convinced Abraham to father a child by Hagar, Sarah's servant. And through that disobedience, all that found them was a great deal of family drama and stress over the child that was conceived. But God was still faithful to his word to Abraham and Sarah. And after 25 years of waiting, God fulfilled his promise and Sarah conceived Isaac. And that's where our passage takes us to this morning. As we read, God instructs Abraham to take his son and sacrifice him. This was a test from God. We see that. We read that. Abraham didn't know that. All right? We can see that how Abraham passed that test, and it showed that Abraham truly believed that God was his provider. This morning, I want us to learn a few things about how God provides for his people. What is it about God that drives him provide for his own? What are some things needed to on our part to understand God as Jehovah Jireh that God provides? And I tell you, as I said before, God still provides for his people. And that means you and me. If you carry the name Christ in your name, if you're a Christian, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, God is your provider. Amen. There's three questions I think we can ask ourselves when understanding that God is our provider. And the first one is this. God provides, but are you listening? Are you listening? Go back to our passage, verse 1 through 2. And these things God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, here am I, he answered. Take your son, he said, your only son Isaac, whom you love. Go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on the mountain I will tell you about. Abraham is commonly seen as a great example of someone who exercised great faith. He is mentioned to us, even in the New Testament, in the Hall of Faith, over in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham was called, obeyed, and set out for a place that he was going to receive as an inheritance. He went out, even though he didn't know where he was going. Through Abraham's story, we see him succeeding and failing, all on the basis of how a good listener he was. He failed when he did not listen and believe that God would give him a son through Sarah, but succeeded when he listened and obeyed, and when God told him to go move to the land he knew nothing about. God always came through and provided everything he ever needed. In the passage we just read, Abraham was facing probably the greatest test of faith, the greatest trial that he'd ever faced. You get a clue about how Abraham was going to respond by the opening lines of this passage. God called, and Abraham immediately said, here am I. You get the sense that Abraham had already prepared it in his heart to listen for the call of God in his life. Can I share with you, this is an excellent example for us today. If you have not already decided in your heart to obey God's word, then you will more than likely turn away from God when he calls you to do something. We must have it in our heart prior to God's call to obey him. Our faith should motivate us to do God's word prior to us understanding it. Our faith should tell God this: God, I don't know what you might be calling or instructing or doing in my life, but whatever it is, I'm going to be faithful to obey it. Amen. Because I know without a shadow of a doubt that you will provide what is necessary to obey. Can I also share with you something else this morning? God will never ask you to do something that he wouldn't do himself. Amen. And that's very clearly seen as God gave the ultimate sacrifice by sending his own son, sending Jesus to the cross at Calvary. And this is clearly seen in this text. What does Abraham, or God, call Abraham to do? Sacrifice his only son. Exactly what God would do at a later time as he sacrificed his only begotten Son for the sins of the world. Listen to me. If you're not listening for God, we will not be prepared to obey God's word. Here's the second thing I think we can see in our passage. God provides. Are we going to step out in faith and obey? God provides. Are we going to step out in faith and obey? When we read this passage, everything we see points to Abraham's faith. You can see his faith in the instructions he gives to the ones that travel with him. Verse 5 says, stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will go over there to worship. Then we'll come back to you. You got to love the faith that says, I don't know how, I don't know when, I don't know how God's going to do this, but we're coming back to you. He says, we'll be back. You can see Abraham's faith in his actions. Verse 6 tells us Abraham took the wood, the burnt offering, and laid them on his son Isaac in his hand. He took the fire and the knife, and the two then walked on together. He had everything he needed to fulfill what God had told him to do. He left nothing back. There would be no excuse for him to obey because he forgot nothing. You can see some of the greatest example of Abraham's faith in the Lord was through his response to Isaac. This had to be gut-wrenching for Abraham in verse 8 when he says, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. Then the two of them walked on together. Did you catch that? Abraham did not ignore Isaac's response, question. Abraham did not make up an excuse to comfort Isaac. No, Abraham's response came straight from his faithful heart. God himself will provide. He knew God was going to provide somehow. Abraham was convinced. I believe Abraham was convinced that if God had already performed one miracle, if God had already been faithful in all the different times in his life, when he looked back, he saw how God was always faithful to him. Even by putting life in a barren womb. In Abraham's mind, I'm thinking raising Isaac from the dead would not be a problem for his God. Amen. Abraham had arrived at a place and point in his life where he was confident that he could trust God with everything, and that included his most valued possession, his son, Isaac. This is something I have learned over the years in having faith in God. Sometimes you have to look back how God has been faithful to you in the past in order to gain the confidence to obey God in the present. And that will give you the faith needed to obey God in the future. Faith in God allows us to be obedient. Without faith, there is no obedience. When we doubt, we're telling God that he cannot provide for our needs. Faith allows us to be obedient because through faith, we have a firm assurance that God does indeed provide for his own. The passage does not give us a clue how much time passed between verses 8 and 9. We don't know how long it took them to climb the mountain, but after arriving in the place that God told Abraham to go, we see Abraham's faith in practice once again by building the altar, arranging the wood on the altar, and we see his faith never failing when he places his son on the altar and raises the knife to do as he was told. But the passage does give us a good understanding that Abraham's actions were based on his understanding of God's character. He had no clue how God was going to provide. He just knew in his heart that God had always provided in the past, and he knew God never changes. Therefore, God would provide in this moment as well. This is what we can learn from Abraham's faith. Our circumstances never test the faithfulness of God. They only test our understanding of his character and his purpose. Can I ask you something? Do you trust God in all circumstances? Do the people around you see your faith in that God provides for you? When things are not going as you want, when tragedy strikes your family, when it seems there is no answer to the problems you are facing, the greatest test of our faith does not come when the things are going as planned. Can I tell you that? But rather when things happen we cannot understand and cannot solve ourselves. That's when we have to put our faith in the God who provides. You can take it to the bank, church, that God is providing what we need. And it's up to us to understand it in faith and move forward. Here's the third thing. God provides. Are you paying attention? God provides. Are you paying attention? Look at verse 11 through 14 very quickly. But the angel Lord called out to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. Once again, Abraham's listening for the word of God. He replied, Here I am. Then he said, Do not lay a hand on that boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your only son from me. Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it as a burnt offering in the place of his son. And Abraham named it that place, The Lord Will Provide. So it is said today, it will be provided on the Lord's mountain. Just about when Abraham was about to do what God called him to do, God did exactly what God always does. And did exactly what Abraham's faith said through his action. God provided a lamb. God provided the ram for the rescue, Abraham and Isaac that day. Isaac did not have to die. God provided the rescue. God provided the substitute. And I hope you do not miss this important truth about this passage. Just like God provided a substitute sacrifice that day, God would later on provide the ultimate sacrifice in our lives. He provided the Lamb of God in the form of Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son. And through His sacrifice on the cross at Calvary, our lives have been pardoned. Our lives have been saved. When we display that same faith in Abraham by placing our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we too are saved from our sins. We call heaven our home. Amen. This place where Abraham saw firsthand of God's provision was so sacred, so important to Abraham that he gave it a special name. He named it the Lord Will Provide. That's a literal translation of the Hebrew name of God, Jehovah Jireh. Church, listen closely. We too have a place we can clearly see God providing. And that place is called Calvary. Let us never forget the place where God has provided for our salvation. Never forget the empty tomb. Never forget the words of our Lord as He ascended into heaven. Remember, I am with you all the way until the ends of the age. Don't forget what was told to us as Jesus ascended into heaven. In Acts 1:11, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up to heaven? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come in the same way that you have seen Him going into heaven. God has provided. The question is, are you paying attention? God knows what you need before you need it. God knew Abraham needed a substitute before Abraham even ever realized he needed it himself. God provided. Abraham just needed to pay attention. And we are no different. God knows our needs, and He's already provided for them. Even before you even knew you needed it. Our responsibility is to display the faith and pay attention when God provides. Think about it this way. God's prevision always leads to His provision. So wrapping things up this morning, I love what Corrie Ten Boom once said. If God sends us on strong paths, we are provided with strong shoes. If you desire to unleash God's blessing in your life, if you want to discover God that is your provider, then obey His word. Obey immediately and without reservation. See and hear Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides your every need exactly at the moment you need it. Praise God, we have a God provides. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we come to You and we thank You so much that You are our provider. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, I don't know what needs to be done in this time of response, this time of decision, but I know You do, Lord. Maybe this morning there's somebody here that needs to be saved. Lord, You have provided for that. You have provided Your Son, Jesus Christ. Maybe there's other provision somebody needs right now, Lord. I pray, I know for without a doubt that You have already met that need. We just have to be paying attention and looking. So whatever needs to be done this moment, Lord, we give it to You. And we just pray for our obedience, just like Abraham was obedient. And pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You stand and respond as God comes.